We're live and we're local. This is a Juno afternoon on Wednesday, the 5th of July. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. On today's show, we'll talk with Glow and Toby about First Friday at the Canvas. Kathleen Weiss, this month's featured artist at the Juno Artist Gallery, will tell us about her work and her exhibit. Eileen Hosey will be here to highlight upcoming Tai Chi classes, and MK McNaughton will be here to talk about her First Friday show at Kindred Post. Those interviews and National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more right here on a Juno afternoon. Looking at weather for the rest of today, sunny, highs in the mid-60s. Enjoy that. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-50s, and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, but highs around 70. National Native News is next.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. An alliance of tribal leaders from the United States and chiefs of First Nations from Canada came together Tuesday in Rapid City, South Dakota, to oppose the Keystone XL pipeline and tar sands expansion. On the 4th of July, tribal leaders signed agreements to also oppose the Dakota Access Pipeline and to stop the Interior Department from removing Yellowstone grizzly bears from the endangered species list. A representative from Manitoba tells Victoria Wicks that 150 years of treaty violations have led to environmental destruction.
Kevin Hart is the Manitoba Regional Chief for the Assembly of First Nations. He says First People in Canada, as in the United States, entered into treaties with the federal government. He says those legal agreements were created to ensure the welfare of all so that all people could share resources and thrive. But now, he says, Indigenous people in both nations live in abject poverty.
Obviously, that's a direct breach of the treaty because, you know, we're living in third world conditions, and yet corporations and federal governments reap from the benefits of the extraction of all the natural resources that we see occurring on the lands and the water.
Hart says even though treaties and constitutions require it, federal governments don't consult tribes before allowing land to be disturbed for pipelines, hydroelectric power, and mining. He says in Canada those developments have disrupted fishing and hunting industries in remote locations, resulting in elevated food prices and poor nutrition. And he notes that the United States is the leading customer for Canadian exports.
It says in our prophecies, you know, after the last tree has been cut down, after the last water has been polluted and such, after the last animal has been killed off, they said, you'll realize that you can't eat money.
Through efforts of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People and other government-to-government accords, Hart says First Peoples' voices are heard more widely and their rights are recognized globally. But he says time is running out for protecting the planet. The alliance includes representatives of the Blackfoot Confederacy, the Great Sioux Nation, and the Ponca Nation. For National Native News, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Five members of the Canadian military are in hot water and have been relieved of their duties pending an investigation. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the group disputed an Indigenous ceremony on Canada Day.
This is Mi'kmaq territory. This is not Canada.
This is Canada.
It might have been
Mi'kmaq.
So you don't have Canadian ID, you don't pay your taxes, you don't have a Medicare card?
This is not an argument.
Well, it is.
It wasn't exactly an altercation, it wasn't violent, but it was improper, according to Canada's most senior military officials, and especially for members of the Canadian military who serve their country. The group was dressed the same in black polo shirts with yellow piping, and they carried the Canadian Red Ensign flag, the country's national flag, until it was replaced by the Maple Leaf in 1965. They also said they were members of the Canadian chapter of the Proud Boys. That's a group that claims it will no longer apologize for creating the modern world and won't discriminate on the basis of race or sexuality. A Mi'kmaq woman, Rebecca Thomas, was at the ceremony and witnessed the event.
I was nervous. I was very nervous as to what could happen, right? If you have, young, brash men and passionate protesters coming together, that doesn't always have a happy ending.
In a statement from Ottawa, Canada's Chief of Defence Staff, Jonathan Vance, apologized to the Indigenous community, saying also that he detests any action by the Canadian forces that is intended to show disrespect towards the very people and cultures we value in Canada. And the Minister of Defence said there would be consequences for military personnel in or out of uniform who express intolerance. The Mi'kmaq ceremony took place in Halifax in front of the statue of Edward Cornwallis, who was the founder of the city and its first governor, but who was also responsible for declaring a controversial bounty on Mi'kmaq scalps in the mid-1700s. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation. with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
And by Humboldt State University, we know what it means to be rooted in community. You can get your Master's of Social Work and amplify your voice without having to leave it. The part-time online program accepts applications between August 1st and 31st. More at humboldt.edu/socialwork.
And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're tuned into a Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and here with me are my first guest, Glow and Toby from The Canvas. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi.
Great to see you guys, as always.
Yes.
Such a happy presence in the studio. And you guys, you have a pretty regular occurrence on this show, right?
Yeah.
Promoting the First Friday.
First Friday's classes.
Stuff is always
We love being here.
Thank you. We love having you. So you're here to talk about First Friday at the Canvas. First of all, let's just remind everybody what your connections are to the Canvas. What's your role there? Glow, we'll start with you.
My name is Glow Ramirez, and I'm the program assistant at the Canvas. So I'm the one that you will see in front desk and will say hi to you and will wave at you through the windows. So, yeah.
I do like peeking in the windows when I walk by.
I love seeing people there, and I always encourage everyone just to come in and take a peek of what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
We always joke. In the studio, it's like the fishbowl, you know, people looking down.
First you look into salt, and then you look into canvas, depending on which way you're going.
Yeah.
And Toby, how about you? What's your connection?
Yeah, I'm in the studio, full-time art studio assistant. So I'm in there just kind of facilitating art making, mostly in just the 2D studio. We have a ceramic studio as well, but I mostly do 2D.
2D like work, painting?
Help with that. Yeah, painting, drawing, ink. Different kind of
fun. Mm-hmm. So are you both all ready for First Friday?
Yeah, just about.
We are just in the finishing touches and just they're doing some work at the canvas right now. So between tomorrow and Friday morning, everything will be done. So Annie, that it's our artist, she will be there with us, and she's very excited about having her solo show.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us more about the show.
Yeah.
And the artist.
Annie Eichhorst is going to be the artist. She's a artist at the Canvas. And her show is called Point in Time. So it's pretty fitting because Annie kind of works sporadically. But it's really refreshing for me. I've worked with her and seen her process. And it's a lot of fun because it really reflects her personality. And it's interesting because as artists, I think you get caught up in trying to get the details and everything. But Annie's way of art making is very free, and I think that'll be reflective in her work. I'm excited. It'll be a lot of fun. She's excited. Talked to her about it, and she's really pumped. And she said she worked very hard. She wanted me to let people know she worked very hard on the show, which she did. It's a solo show, so it's exhibiting at least 20 works, I think she has.
I think for now we got 17.
17?
17, right.
Yeah, which is great. I mean,
she did a great work.
17 pieces, that's quite a lot to churn out.
Yeah.
she like, part of the name is because she takes, like, she can know what she wants and she just go for it. Or maybe she will be just, like, taking her time with her lines and her work. And that's part of the joy that we see on her, on the process. Mm-hmm. So it's always good to, like, see that she got so much work, even if sometimes we work with them and it's a slow pace. So it's impressive to see that she gets so much work and so great work, too. Mm-hmm.
Is there any particular piece that's a favorite or that you guys are excited about? Mm-hmm. You could give us a little description, sneak peek.
Well, there's... it's fitting because it's an interpretation of an American flag, and so it's fitting because it's 4th of July.
I'm looking at a picture of it on the cover of the canvas. Is that your newsletter?
Yeah, that's our booklet. Like, we will
class
have
schedule.
It.
Yeah, yeah. That is cool.
Yeah.
She does really unique work, and her interpretation of whatever she's seeing or what she's going to do. It's just refreshing to see it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really like that.
She will work sometimes from references, sometimes not, but it's really neat to see what comes out of it.
That's exciting. And is this her first show?
She's been in group shows before. This is her first solo show.
Wow, that's exciting. That's,
yeah.
Oh, well, I hope she's listening right now and getting even more excited. All right. Well, thanks for that. And then how did last month's show was a staff show. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And how did that go? Because you were both of you had pieces that you exhibited.
Yeah, that was fun. I realized it's a long time to be hanging out. This is what Glow has to do every first Friday. She has to be in there for the show. And I got a little taste of that because I had to be there for the whole show hanging out. But it was a lot of fun. A lot of people came and checked it out. It's always cool to get feedback on your work, too. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people were really happy. It was a kind of an eclectic show. So it was nice to see the reaction that people will be like, oh, we got, like what they said, we got a little bit of everything. And people were more like into ceramics or more into acrylic. So they will have like their own thing that they will like. Mm-hmm. And it was a full one. Like we got lots of people on the gallery.
Yeah, I cruised through and checked it out. I thought all the work was fantastic. And it was just nice to see staff work on display.
Yes.
Not so behind the scenes that time. Okay, so that was last month. We talked about this month. Are there any upcoming classes or workshops that you guys have going on at the Canvas?
Yeah, we got classes for adults now that it will be one day. And I think that we need to tell everyone that we got Lindsay Caron in town. And she had two classes already. And they were awesome. Like, people were so happy about it. So she got a plein air class in downtown. And I think everyone that loves plein air painting, they should check it out because she had ink drawing and a kids class and everyone had so much fun. Mm-hmm. So
they were dancing at the end. They had their faces painted. That was last week.
Yeah.
It looked
like
a lot of
fun. And the people on the figure drawing, they get out there with so much work and they were so excited about it that, I don't know, it just makes you excited to be there and be part of something that people enjoy.
I want to go back to what you said, plein air. I noticed it's a different spelling. It's P-L-E-I-N?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does that mean? Is it a certain style of painting or art?
It basically means just being outside and painting from what you see, what you observe, instead of painting from maybe a picture reference. But the main thing, I think, is just being outside.
Yeah, enjoying everything.
yeah, kind of taking it in. But yeah, that's what that means, plein air.
Outdoor art class. Mm-hmm. I like it. Yeah. I like the idea of that.
And she's so energetic, so people shall just sign in and just enjoy it. We also still have some classes for kids that we got some spaces. Those are like pretty full lately. We got like the canvas has been full of kids.
A lot of energy.
lots and lots. And we also have for everyone that is interested on and in particular class that we don't have on the schedule, if people have five friends or more, we can make a custom class. So if you get an idea for a class and you just want to, like, run with it, just let us know. And we can find a T-shirt that will fit on it do anything that you want, like a painting or just sculptures. It would be a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that actually, this is new, so it sounds really interesting. And I think it'd be good for people that, you know, sometimes the scheduled classes don't fit into everyone's schedule. And so this is nice because you pick the time and the medium. So
I love that idea.
Yeah,
that's actually giving me a bunch of ideas.
For birthday parties.
Yeah, that's
bachelorette parties.
Sometimes I just, you know, want to take a painting class or a ceramics class and they're just not being offered at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that I could just get some friends together and request a custom class is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm glad you guys are doing that. Next time we talk, you'll have to let me know how that went for you, if you had any really cool, like, cool ideas for classes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, so what else? Is there anything else you guys would like to talk about?
Well, for now, we just got this, but we're already working on the fall schedule. So
I don't really think about fall yet, but I did to, like, think I should maybe ask about that.
Yeah, so people just keep checking our website, and we'll be start posting hopefully soon. But we do have like great teachers, great artists just teaching classes in this fall. And that's something good to like just look for on our website.
And we still have, you know, the monthly studio memberships. So there's the ceramic studio membership or the art studio, to-do studio, which are really cool.
What does that mean? It just means you can kind of, if you're a member, you can come in and work on your own stuff.
Yeah. So you can come in. We offer access to a lot of supplies. And you can, you can come in when the canvas hours are, when it's open, and just come and work alongside canvas artists or, you know, at other times. But, yeah, it's a cool opportunity.
That's fantastic.
Every other Saturday, we got that Saturday drawing group. That's another thing that we do. So people come in at 4:45, and they just set up, and there is a model, and they can just draw until 8 o'clock. So they do that too.
You get a pretty good crowd every other week for that?
Actually, yes. We've been getting more than 4 people every other Saturday. Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty consistent. I know like a lot of artists in town use it, you know, as just keeping up with their practice.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get some, if people see it on the community calendars, I've got a few visitors that are for Saturday, and they said, oh, I saw this, and they just come in and do it, too.
That's fun.
So that's a good thing, yeah.
Well, as usual, you guys are doing great stuff. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Glow and Toby from the Canvas. We talked about what's happening First Friday and all the other wonderful things that the Canvas is doing. And where can we find more information about all of this?
You can get on the website, canvasarts.org. You can write it to our email, info@canvasarts.org, and our phone number is
907-586-1750.
Got it. Good job, Toby. She's always on top of the phone numbers.
But or you could come in, stop by, and hang out for a bit.
And that's probably the most fun option. All right. Well, thanks again so much for being here, you guys.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, see you Friday.
Bye.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 5th of July, 2017. It's the birthday of the Puritan leader, founder of Connecticut, Thomas Hooker, born in 1586. It's the birthday of the astronomer A.E. Douglas, Windsor, Vermont, 1867, who founded the field of dendrochronology, a method of dating wood by growth ring patterns of trees. It's the birthday of Susan Wojcicki, born in Santa Clara County, California, in 1968. It was Susan Wojcicki who rented out her garage, her house in Menlo Park, to two Stanford students, Sergey Brin and Larry Page, back when they were starting their senior project, which turned into Google. Figured out a way to design a search engine that used links to determine the importance of individual pages on the internet. They paid Wojcicki $1,700 a month to use her garage, and the three of them stayed up late working on it, and she became the first marketing manager at Google. And it was Susan Wojcicki who convinced Google to buy YouTube, which makes it possible for you to watch as many cat videos as you can. She's now the CEO of YouTube. She grew up on the Stanford campus. Her father taught physics there. She said, "We had all these amazing people around us. Their goal wasn't to become famous or make money. It was to do something that was meaningful for the world because they had a passion. They found something interesting and they cared about it. I mean, it could be ants or it could be math or it could be earthquakes or classical Latin literature." And it's the birthday of the poet, film director Jean Cocteau, born in Maison Lafitte near Paris in 1889. Wrote plays, wrote libretti, and he made the movie Beauty and the Beast with the candelabra fashioned out of living arms. Hung out in Paris was a friend of Picasso and Apollinaire and Eric Satie. Here's a poem for today by J.T. Noel, Graveyard Shift at Ace's Truck Stop. Speed-popping long-haul truckers stretch, yak, and drink coffee with locals searching for pancakes or bacon and eggs after a night of drinking, dancing, gambling, and making whoopee at night spots like the Tower Ballroom, Saddlehead Sam's, the 69 Drive-In, Bartow's Idle Hour and the VFW, the Haggard and the High Class together, no place else open. Roy Orbison belts out Candyman from the Neon and Chrome Wurlitzer. Cigarette smoke curls around the horseshoe bar beneath a large stuffed deer head. 3 a.m. crowd gone. Fry cook leans over a newspaper. Waitress rolls a nickel from her tip pocket into the juke, punches in her selection, slides wearily into a booth, puts her feet up, and lights a pell-mell. Elvis begins to sing. She closes her eyes and mouths the words, "Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted apart?" Graveyard Shift at Ace's Truck Stop, a poem by J.T. Noel from Others Like Us, published by 39 West Press, and used by permission here in the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, now available on iOS devices, subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org, and by Magoosh, online test prep for the ACT, SAT, GMAT, GRE, LSAT, and MCAT. Prep smart, go far, and enjoy the ride at magoosh.com. Be well. Do good work and keep in touch.
Years ago, the first barrel of oil flowed down the Trans-Alaska pipeline.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, it goes, shh, and I just woke up and I went, oil's in.
Midnight Oil is a new series and podcast from Alaska's Energy Desk about the pipeline that shaped the state. Visit ktoo.org or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 23 minutes after the hour. You're tuned into a Juno Afternoon, and my next guest is Kathleen Wiest, calling in from Tinicky Springs. Thank you for connecting with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show.
How's the weather over there?
It's beautiful. After that deluge we've had for the last month, it's just a beautiful day out here.
I'm happy to hear that. I think we're all really happy to see the sun today. Well, congratulations on being the featured artist at Juno Artist Gallery. How did that feel?
Oh, great. I joined the co-op again last year, and so this has been my first opportunity to be one of the featured artists, and I'm thrilled to be able to do that, and I'll be there for First Friday this Friday.
Great. Could you tell us a little bit about your work so we can get a preview?
Sure. Some people are familiar with my work, some people are not, and I hope to see a lot of folks downtown. I have paintings, both oil paintings and acrylic paintings, and pottery. Those are the two types of artwork that I focus on these days. And my paintings, they're kind of an up-close and personal look at the landscape. I live right on the beach. I have a beautiful view out my window. I feel extremely fortunate. I get to watch the tide roll in and the tide roll out and explore all those different creatures that live in that intertidal zone. And so my work is basically focused on that interface between the sea and the forest. So that's kind of the subject matter, including the creatures. And so my pottery actually, I've been focusing mostly on ravens, my favorite corvid. And,
mine too.
The pottery pieces, yeah, they have such character. And so mostly my pottery is it's non-functional, it's decorative, and it's all hand-built. I don't use a wheel, and I don't use glazes. They're all smoke-fired and finished in different ways.
Wow, that sounds really interesting. Would you mind giving us sort of a visual description of one of your pieces that will be on display?
Sure. I don't know if anybody is familiar with the Egyptian tomb jars, the Canopic jars, but that's the form that my work is based on. And then I'd like to put, in this case, I have the heads of ravens that are stylized. They're very abstract. And it's each one is individual, and they're kind of cool by themselves, but I think they're best when I group them together, and the interaction between the pieces, I think, has more to say than just each individual raven jar. So they're kind of fun to see together as well.
That sounds really interesting. Now, you mentioned living in Tinicky Springs. Do you live there year-round?
I don't live here year-round. We're off-grid, and come winter time, I mean, my neighbors live here year-round, but they're tougher than I am. So... for us, it means we'd have to break ice, haul water, do all that in the wintertime, and I'm just kind of wimpy, and so we tend to travel out in the wintertime and go find sunny places in the Southwest or Mexico or wherever else we decide to find some sunshine and warmth.
Well, when you're in Tinicky Springs, what's the art scene like?
It's, I think I mentioned this to you earlier, it's kind of a small, I call it a small town with an art problem. Everybody here seems to be some kind of an artist, whether they're painters, puppeteers, performance artists, musicians, writers, you name it. It just seems like most of the people that live out here do some kind of creative work that's pretty exemplary. It's a, if you haven't been to Tinicky Springs, it's a great place to spend a little bit of time and get to know some of the people out here.
I've heard nothing but good things about it. And we're really glad that you're able to come away from there and visit us in Juneau this weekend. And the Juneau Artist Gallery, it's actually one of my favorite places to go on First Friday, not just because they have the best snacks, which they do, but I was I was wondering if you'd tell our listeners a little bit about the space.
The Juneau Artist Gallery, it's been around since the early 80s, and I was a member way, way, way back in 1984, I think. And then life and work got in the way, and I kind of backed away from it for a while. So it feels good to be included again. It's a group right now of about 23 different artists. Everything from jewelers, glass artists, painters, printmakers, photographers, potters. There's just such a variety, and everything in there is locally handmade by artisans in the Juneau community. I kind of like to consider myself part of that, but I'm probably the furthest away person from the gallery, but thankfully our ferry system can get me there to participate. And I come in about once a month and do my part to man the desk and be an active member of the gallery.
Wonderful. And, that's located down on Franklin Street, is that correct?
It is. It's in the Senate building.
Okay.
In the And right there on South Franklin, not too far from the clock. And it's a great, great location, great spot. It, the Senate building is full of nifty shops of its own, too. And we are one of them. And it's just, yeah, it's a great little space.
Yeah, I think that one's on everybody's list. Everybody seems to stop there. It's right kind of in the heart of it all.
Oh, it is. It's just, and it's fun in the summertime to be right smack in the middle of all of that activity downtown, which is so different than the wintertime. But unlike many shops in downtown, because we're local, we're open year-round.
Yes, that's one of the best things about it.
Yeah, we're not going away. We're just there.
Fantastic. Juno Artist Gallery has a website that they keep updated with their First Friday artists, but you said you have a website as well. Would you like to tell us what that is?
Sure. My website is just KathleenWeistStudios.com, and that would take you to either my regular website, or I also have a Facebook page, and you can follow what I'm doing. And even though I have quite a few things at the gallery, I also have more work that's on the website that you can see that might be different. Some of the work that I do when I'm traveling around, you were mentioning on the show earlier, plein air painting, and that's what I've been doing a lot of lately. So when I travel, I can take my studio with me and just paint in the great outdoors.
And you have a wonderful setting, it sounds like, in Tinicky Springs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. And it's a great excuse to travel, too, to go find other pretty places.
So that's KathleenWeistStudios.com, and Weist is W-I-E-S-T.
Correct.
Excellent. So if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Kathleen Weist, the featured artist for Juno Artist Gallery. Her exhibit opens on Friday, First Friday. Kathleen, is there anything else you'd like to add to this interview?
No, I'm just really looking forward to seeing folks in downtown Juno. It's always a fun opportunity to meet old friends and make new friends and share what I do and what the rest of the gallery members do with the public. So I hope to see folks down there. And that would be, Friday, 4:30 to 7, we'll be there.
Thanks for mentioning the times. And your work sounds very interesting and exciting. I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
Well, thank you. Yes, I look forward to meeting you and seeing you down there.
I'll come by and introduce myself.
Please do.
Well, thank you very much for being on the show today, Kathleen, and safe travels from Tinicky.
Thank you.
We'll be right back after this break.
Butterfly, gonna spend the day higher than high. You'll need beautiful confusion. Ooh, once I was you. Make the change. I'll meet you here. tomorrow. Independence Day, Independence Day, Independence Day.
You're tuned into a Juno Afternoon. It is about 25 minutes to the top of the hour. I'm here with my next guest, Eileen Hosey. And she's here to talk about Tai Chi classes. Welcome, Eileen.
Thank you very much, Shelley.
You are welcome.
Yeah.
So I must say you have a very calm and soothing demeanor. Is that because of your association with Tai Chi?
Well, I wish it was. I keep telling myself I'm going to take a class when I can, when I'm able to do so. But there are some wonderful benefits to Tai Chi. Of course, the main benefit is improved balance and strength. And we know this is a critical aspect in preventing falls for seniors. And so that is our first goal. We received a grant from the State of Alaska Division of Senior and Disability Services because preventive care and preventive medicine is very important for all ages, especially for seniors, since I think the statistics here are that one out of three seniors will have a fall over the age of 65. And for instance, if you fall and break a hip, go to the hospital, 40% of those people never resume independent living. That's a staggering amount of people who now need assisted living care. So we'd like to keep seniors healthy and independent as long as possible.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And are you with an organization?
Yes. I work for Southeast Senior Services. We're a division of Catholic Community Service.
And is it you who organizes the classes, your agency?
Our agency does, yes. We received a grant from state.
Right, mentioned.
Senior and Disability Services, right.
Great. What are some of the other benefits of Tai Chi for anyone or for older folks?
It's for age 60 and above. It's a free class. But we do something called a pre-class survey, and some of the things that we're looking for improvement for people, strength, balance, flexibility, pain levels, emotional outlook, energy level, and self-confidence.
Yeah, I understand it can be very calming.
It is absolutely calming, and many people say that it's a meditative state that they get in when they're doing Tai Chi, and the movements flow from one to the other. This is an 8-week class. We're going to meet twice a week through August 31st, starting July 10th, next Monday, Mondays and Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. We'll be having the class.
And where do you meet?
This class is going to be at the Greening Park Community Room on the Old Glacier Highway. It's across just about where the old Walmart building was. You can't miss it. It's up about a half a block.
Okay.
Yep.
That sounds pretty easy to find, easy to get to. And who should think about attending these classes?
Well, anybody over this age of 60 who has ever, if you've ever had a fall, if you feel like you need to increase your strength, your stamina, if you want to improve your outlook on life, or if you just want to have fun. It's a lot of fun. People who take it love the class. I hear again and again how much fun it is, how easy it is to work into the movements, and what a pleasure it is to succeed at something as esoteric, perhaps, as Tai Chi.
That's very interesting. Yeah. That's a very appealing description. You'll draw them in with that one.
Yeah.
It sounds like you do this on a regular basis.
We do. We try to offer classes 5 times a year. So this one will run August 31st, and towards the latter part of September, we'll be putting another one together and seeing where that takes us, yeah.
Great. Do you usually have a pretty good turnout?
It really varies. Sometimes, we don't know. Sometimes in the middle of winter, we think, oh, nobody's going to want to come because there's snow and ice. Classes are full. We do try to limit the class to 20 because the teachers like to have ample time to do individual instruction and individual observation, and so that works, 20 or so.
20, yeah, that sounds like a pretty good turnout. It's a room full. Excellent. Can you have the classes outside when it's nice like this?
Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's a possibility. I was in Hawaii in February when I was driving along right by the water, and there was a class, about 15 people, doing Tai Chi at the beach. What Doesn't a wonderful wonder? Thing that was.
Yeah, that sounds really good right now. All right, well, before we can get out of here and go to the beach, let's talk a little bit more about how we can find out more information about these classes.
Sure.
How should people contact?
Well, you can call me. My name's Eileen Hosey, 463-6113, and I'm there daily between about 9 and 3. You can also email me, Eileen, E-I-L-E-E-N dot Hosey, H-O-S-E-Y, at ccsjuno.org, and I'll get an application packet to you. Then you just send it back and you're in the class.
That sounds good, and I've got that contact information here as well, so if you missed it, you can just get a hold of us at KTOO and we'll relay that. And tell me one more time, when do the classes start?
They start next Monday, July 10th.
July 10th? Mm-hmm. At what time?
At 10 a.m. From 10 to 11. It'll be on Monday and Thursday. And this time our instructor is the Master Tai Chi instructor, Glenn Ray.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wow. Does he come to town just to do this or does he live here?
He lives here in Juneau. Mm-hmm.
Great.
He's been teaching for many years.
Well, thanks so much for all this wonderful information. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything we didn't touch on?
I think we covered it all. I'm anxious to have some new people try it. And if you've taken the class before, you can register again. This is beginning Tai Chi, but sometimes people like to have a brush up, and we welcome people who have taken it in the past.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. All right. So newcomers and experienced folks are welcome.
Right. Absolutely.
Great. Well, thanks so much for being on the show today, Eileen. The classes sound wonderful. I'm glad you guys are doing that.
Yeah. Thank you, Shelley.
You're welcome. Here's Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. Imagine yourself among the great firs and ponderosa pines of Stanislaus National Forest in central California. High-pitched calls of young northern goshawks pierce the morning air. As sunlight begins to spill through the trees, the whistling notes grow into clear, insistent calls for food. In early July, goshawk nestlings are crowding their nest, a platform of twigs, branches, and pine needles built into a crook halfway up a mature fir tree. In 2013, over 400 square miles of the Stanislaus Forest were engulfed in what's known as the Rim Fire. This grove burned with low intensity. The understory was in flames. Most of the mature trees were charred at the base, but remained alive. But less than a mile away is an area that burned with high intensity. It's now rich with new growth and the bustle of mountain quails. Adult goshawks will have been actively foraging in those high-intensity burn areas. Now, our nestlings' squeals take on a tone of great excitement. The female goshawk has arrived with a bird in her talons. Downy feathers fly as parent and nestlings begin their meal. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
You're tuned into a Juno Afternoon, and I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and with me is my last guest, last but not least, the very Juno-famous N.K. McNaughton. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm a big fan of your work, and I'm also a big fan of Kindred Post, so this First Friday event is going to be a must-see. Can you tell me a little bit about it? Well, first of all, how did it come about?
Well, Christy and I have known each other for quite a few years and collaborated on various community projects, and at a First Friday at my studio a couple months ago, I drew every person that came in the door, quick sketches.
Really?
Like mostly not looking at the paper, so they're blind contour drawings, and they can look a little goofy. But Christy loved the resulting piece, this big piece, and asked if I would do it at Kindred Post. And then we decided that I would do it up on the chalkboard behind the wall. So I'll climb up onto a counter and draw, hopefully, everybody who comes in, and then their faces will stay up there on the wall.
That sounds so cool.
I think it's a great way to represent what Kindred Post is all about, being a community gathering space.
That's what I was just thinking, too. Like, that just sounds very Kindred Post. So that's great. I'm sure that's going to be super interesting and a lot of fun. But let's talk a little bit more about you. You're primarily a painter. Is that correct?
Paint and draw. I'm doing a lot of drawing these days, too.
Will you have, you said it's not really an exhibit of your work at First Friday, but some of your stuff may be available.
I do. Well, I'm happy to say Kindred Post does carry some of my artwork, some G. Clay prints. So it's G. Clay is just a nice quality ink of some of my paintings, and they have little earrings that I've been making. They're earrings of my paintings. And what else do they have? They have something else. And then it is a sort of informal exhibit because the faces will stay up there. So, and the fun thing about doing this project too is that I get a minute with each person. You don't really get to look in someone's eyes, a stranger or even people that we know well. We don't just really look at each other. So that's one of the things I love about drawing from a model. And I had a great time the last time I did this, and I'm looking forward to seeing who shows up and who's willing to stand relatively still for 60 seconds or less.
Well, I'll try.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Your hair will be fun.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I should make an interesting subject.
If only you had those headphones on.
Oh, well, really cool. I'll see if I can borrow
them.
I really love the colors in your work, and I was just wanted to ask if you have a favorite color palette that you especially like to work with.
There is sort of I love burnt sienna. Someone asked me the other day if I only had one color, what would I use? And I start all my paintings with burnt sienna, and I love a sort of like a almost purpley red, deep burgundy color. I've been drawn towards that a lot lately. I've noticed I'm drawn towards greens too, and I think those are the colors I see around us, the sort of earth and green color. And in this last very rainy spell, I was struck by how incredibly green Juno is. So it wasn't gray out. It was green out.
Mm-hmm. It just the green just came, like, exploded on the scene.
It did, yeah. I think the gray weather makes my paintings brighter and brighter and brighter. And I'm drawing with charcoal a lot, so I think the contrast is nice to flip between a charcoal drawing and then a bright oil painting.
Oh, yeah. That sounds great. I mean, bright colors are always just so nice to have on a gray day, and we have a lot of gray days. So
green days.
And green days. Green, it's green right now, for sure. So you're also a teacher. Definitely, like, taking one of your classes has been on my bucket list for a while now. I will get to it. I just wanted to say I love the way your studio and its location and its name and its sign all just go together so well.
Thank you.
So can you tell us more about it?
Yes. Well, I'm hidden away behind the Korea Garden, which is a great restaurant, by the way. It's a newish restaurant. I love them, the people and the food. And I'm right behind them, and there's a big sign that says Sketch that points down. And I try to be there 11 to 5 every day. My youngest child is graduating and going away to college, so I'm taking a little time this summer to hang out and be there. And I hesitate to put on my door "not here" because of the recent thefts.
Right.
So I'm a little bit of a flaky business person, but I'm mostly there 11 to 5 weekdays, and people can always text or call if they want to set up an appointment for sure. And then in the fall, I'll be there really consistently. My kids are gone, and I'll be in my studio. And I teach classes in the evenings and to kids and adults. And this summer, I've been just sort of responding to requests. Sometimes someone will say, "Do you have a class?" And I just need 6 students to make a class. My studio's small, and I like that number, 6 to 8 people. So I kind of have just not been advertising and responding to requests. And I do art catering. That's a class, but it's a one-time event. So I'm doing a retirement party in about a week, and I did a group for the Department of Transportation conference recently. They set up a class in my studio. So it can be encaustic painting, hot beeswax, or we're going to paint mini paintings at the retirement party next week. So I love doing that kind of thing, too, in terms of classes.
So it sounds like for an art catering class, you'd only have them for a short period of time. Mm-hmm. What are some of the techniques that you hit on most with a small group for a short period of time?
Well, it sort of depends on the group and what they want, like the Department of Transportation group, we did encaustic painting, the hot beeswax. It was sort of just in fun, different medium that people don't get.
Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, it's cans of wax, beeswax, and I put oil paint pigment in them and mix it up. So I heat them in a skillet. So when you walk in the studio, there are all these bubbling colors. And you paint with a hot wax on a board. And then you carve into it and heat it with a heat gun. And it's very tactile, almost like sculpting while you're painting. And I find it's a great medium for generally in any group of adults. Most people are a little bit afraid of art.
Yeah.
So I try to I think my specialty is to be an art waitress, set up the table, and then sort of trick you into doing art before you even know you're doing it. So you have fun, and then you're making something beautiful before you can criticize yourself.
Wow.
So that's I think that's what I have to offer people mostly. This, I have a good practice, and I can share that. And then the painting on mini, they're cute little canvases and little tiny easels, and that's a fast thing that you can do with a group of people in a couple of hours. So that's a popular art catering activity, and you walk away with a finished piece. And another popular one I did for a group, one friend was leaving town and five other friends pitched in. And so the six of them all made a linoleum carving. They carved out a little drawing, and then we made prints of their cards. So everybody got a set of everybody else's. A nice memory for the friend who was leaving. And that was fun. That was a really fun project. And those tend to be like two-hour classes, special events. I've done like wedding parties, like a pre-party event when family's in town and you want to do something, or special occasions.
What are your favorite kind of classes to teach?
You know, I love drawing and I love painting. And I really love teaching drawing, though. I love charcoal. And I'm doing a lot of that right now. I'm working on a show of portraits of older people mostly. The show's about aging and dying. It will be at the Jack in September. And it's meant to be a very positive, beautiful show. And I'm doing big, big portraits, big heads, 3 by 3 foot, on vellum. And it's so fun to draw on. So people are often interested in painting classes, I think, because as Junoites, we want the color. And I love oil painting. But I also love drawing. And I think people are a little bit afraid of it. I want to convince more people to take a drawing class with me. So,
well, it is difficult. You said you're drawing portraits, and it is a little bit scary.
Portraits can be a little scary, but why not? Why not?
Why not try?
I consider art a nice risky sport, really.
And it does take practice. You know,
yeah, yeah,
for sure. So,
and charcoal's forgiving. It's you can move it around. You draw, and half of the drawing is erasing. So not erasing mistakes, but intentionally putting in highlights. And drawing on vellum is like drawing on satin.
What is vellum exactly?
It's, I don't actually know what it is. People have been asking me that lately. I better Google it. Somebody told me that it used to be made out of animal intestines, but I don't
think it is.
That's what
I was imagining. Probably not anymore.
It's plasticky, but it's see-through. It's sort of like a little frosted. So with the first drawing I completed, I hung in the middle of the studio, and you can see it from both sides.
Wow.
I'm hoping it gives it sort of an ethereal feel and not a sort of creepy, ghostly feel.
Either way, it would be cool. Is that how you hope to have your work displayed in September?
Yeah, the Jack's not very big, and I'm making huge drawings. So I'll hang some in the windows, since they have the nice windows, and in the middle over the tables. And they'll slightly move then in the breeze. And it's really fun. I'm going to create some big painted landscapes for that show too. So it's a mix of the charcoal on the frosted vellum and then the bright landscapes. Well, they're all paintings of water and sky.
It sounds so beautiful.
Thank you.
I can't wait to see that.
In my head it is. Well, hopefully it will.
I'm certain it's going to translate into lovely creations, lovely works of art. Everything you do is just so pretty.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. So if you're just joining us, we're talking to MK McNaughton. She is going to be at Kindred Post this first Friday. And she's going to be doing a really fun thing where she's drawing chalk portraits, quick chalk portraits of everybody who walks in the door, who's willing to stand still for her.
And I've just remembered one other thing I made for them, especially. I don't know how I forgot.
Tell me.
I've been painting on T-shirts, and I painted 10 baby onesies that are birds with all have a mail or post office theme, like mail as in a letter theme.
Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah. So they're all one of a kind little tiny baby onesies with birds and postal messages.
Sweet. That also sounds so Kindred Post to me. We'll come out on First Friday and get your chalk drawing done by M.K. McNaughton, get your baby onesie, and get anything else you need from Kindred Post. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Website for more information?
Sure. My website's my name, M.K. McNaughton, M-A-C, McNaughton. And people can also email me at mkmac@gci.net.
At gci.net. Okay, great. We'll keep that information on file.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here today, and we'll see you on Friday.
Great.
Thank you for tuning in today to a Juno Afternoon. Our guests were All About First Friday, Glow and Toby from The Canvas, Kathleen Wiest calling in from Tinicky Springs. She'll be at Juno Artist Gallery on Friday. Eileen Hosey talked to us about Tai Chi for seniors, and M.K. McNaughton was here talking about her event at Kindred Post this First Friday. On the show today, we featured music by Elliot Smith and Chris Thiele and The Shacks. On tomorrow's show, we'll get an update of the Orpheus Project with William Todd Hunt. We'll get a sampling of the music of female hip-hop performer Devmo. And we'll profile a new business in town, Harbor Tea and Spices, with our guest Janice McCann. And, of course, Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up. So that's tomorrow, live at 3 on KTOO, repeated at 4 on KRNN, and available on demand via ktoo.org. Today's show will be available on demand online at ktoo.org shortly. Jeff Brown is the producer, and I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. This has been a Juno Afternoon, and until tomorrow, have a great Juno evening.